Good morning. Merry Christmas to you. We're so glad that you have joined us. Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about this question, Christmas. Is it the most wonderful time of the year? You know, we've been anticipating Christmas. We started out with the whole idea of hope, that with Christmas we have hope in God, hope for not only what He has done, but for what He's doing and what He will do. We talked about peace, you know, peace that passes all understanding, peace not as the world gives, but as comes from God, that we have peace because of the Christmas gift, peace with God, peace with ourselves, and peace with others. Last week we talked about joy and how the message of the angels there on the mountainside outside Bethlehem was that born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and that we can rejoice because of that awesome gift. And today we're going to talk about love. So, you know, with the understanding of Christmas, what we can do is that we can turn this question into a declarative statement, and we can do it really easy. Watch. Do you see it? Just two little letters. Let's go back. No, let's go back. There we go. Is it the most wonderful time of the year? And, well, isn't that awesome? You know? It is the most wonderful time of the year. Or it can be the most wonderful time of the year. And it can be that because of our embracing this wonderful gift of love. You know, I had this demonstrated for me in a great way yesterday. I have a picture here to show you. That's Arlene and I. We're in our home. And let me explain to you what you're seeing here. We were talking to our son-in-law, to our daughter and son-in-law, Nathan and Kristen, in London, England. They moved to London, England a couple months ago. And they were over there, and we were FaceTiming with them. Now, I don't know if you know what that is or not, but it's an iPhone product where you can actually talk to somebody and see somebody on your phone and converse with them. You know, if you have another kind of phone, maybe you use Skype. That's the same thing, or something like that. Well, we were FaceTiming with Kristen. You can see it right there in Arlene's hand. That was Kristen and Nathan. You can't see Nathan in the picture, but that's okay. And we were doing that on Arlene's phone, okay? And then right in the middle of that conversation with Kristen and Nathan, our other daughter, Sarah in Tennessee, called us on my phone, okay, on the other phone. I can't remember which was which. Because we're talking to Nathan and Kristen on Arlene's phone. Sarah called my phone. So now get this, all of a sudden we've got four phones, one in Knoxville, Tennessee, two in Pennsylvania, and one in London, England. And all of a sudden we were having this conversation with each other. And we actually held my phone. I've got my phone out like this, taking that picture. So you got my phone, and then Arlene's phone, and then Nathan and Kristen's phone in London, and then Sarah and Jack are in Tennessee. Now, Sarah's husband, Mark, he was working. He's not in the picture, but that's okay. So we have these four phones, and we're talking. And all of a sudden, we actually pointed the phones at each other. And Kristen and Sarah and Jack and Nathan started talking to each other. And Jack said, "Hey, Auntie Kay," that's what he calls Kristen, Auntie Kay, "and Unky Ian." Okay, and then Kristen said to Sarah, "Sarah, by the way, thank you for my gift that you mailed to me in London. You failed to pay the sufficient postage, and it cost me $20 before the mailman would deliver it to my home." Okay, that was... So we had this, this went on for an hour. Us talking to our kids talking to each other, us talking to our grandson, you know, all this kind of stuff. It was incredible. And after it was over, we hung up, and Arlene and I just looked at each other. And then Arlene said, almost with emotion in her voice and in her face, she said, "That was awesome." And I said, that was awesome. Why? It was awesome because of love. Because of family. Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year because of love and because of family. You know, when you think about love in the Christmas story and even love in the Bible, there's one particular passage that just shines forth. It's probably the most familiar passage in the entire Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16. I love the amplified version of this particular verse. Here, I have it for you. Notice what it says. It says, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave his one and only begotten Son, so that whoever believes and trusts in him as Savior shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, maybe you're not familiar with the Amplified Version. The Amplified Version is exactly what its name implies. It amplifies the text. In other words, what it does is it takes the older text of the King James Version, it takes some of the newer text, you know, of the NIV and others, and it actually puts them together. And you see some things in brackets and other places in parentheses. It adds to the text so that it will give you a flavor from several different places what the Bible is trying to say. And even though this passage is so familiar, that everybody knows it, permit me just a few minutes to unpack what God is saying here. First of all, he says, for God. You know, anytime you want to talk about love, you got to start with God. Why? Because the Bible says that God is what? Love. Love. The Bible is so full of what God is, and that He is God is love. 1 Corinthians 13, the other great passage, the high water mark in the New Testament of love. What does it say? It says, now there's these three that abide, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. Why? Because God is love. And when we understand God's love, we not only understand the heart of God, but we can express that love towards others. Now look at what he says. He says, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized. That's a really amazing part of this scripture, because think about it for a minute. What is it that you dearly prize in life? What is it that's most important to you? You know, I remember when I was a kid that my mother, at Christmas time, everybody would ask her what she wanted for Christmas. I mean, I've one of seven children, and all of us children, even after we became adults, we would always ask Mom, what do you want for Christmas? And her answer was always the same. She said, I don't want anything. I don't need anything. Nothing. You know, when I was a kid, when I would hear my mother say that, I would always think the very same thing. And I beg of you, don't think little of me, because I'm confessing this to you. But as a kid, when my mother would be asked, what do you want for Christmas? You know, her kids would ask her friends would ask her neighbors would ask her, everybody would ask her, Helen, what do you want for Christmas? She always answered the same thing. I don't want anything. And when I was a kid, I always thought this, please don't think little of me. I always thought, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Who would ever not want anything when someone asks you, when someone has the ability to get something for you? Why would you ever say nothing? I couldn't understand that. Matter of fact, every time I've spoken to my grandson for the last few weeks, I ask him, I say, Jack, and he says, what, Pappy? I said, what do you want for Christmas? And he's always said the same thing. He says, I want a dump truck and I want a garbage truck. I want a dump truck and I want a garbage truck. Every time, I asked him yesterday in that picture, I said, Jack, what do you want Pappy to get you for Christmas? I want a dump truck and I want a garbage truck. You know what though? He has several dump trucks. And he actually has a garbage truck. He's fascinated with garbage. And you know what? His mother, Sarah, my wife, Arlene, says, listen, don't buy him any more dump trucks or garbage trucks. And you know what I said to that? He's asked me for a dump truck and a garbage truck. Amazon says it is on the way. Why? Because when you love somebody, when you dearly love somebody, when you greatly love somebody, when someone is prized, you want to express that love. Look what he says next. He actually says he prized the world. And later on, he actually says that whoever believes and trusts in him, whoever, that the world, now think about this for a moment. The world means everybody. Whoever means you. Right? That God's love is for everybody. You know what? It's easy to say that God loves the world. Isn't that awesome? God loves the world. But he also wants us to know that he loves everybody individually, whoever. And that includes you and me here this morning. And look what it says. Next he says that he gave. That he gave. For God so loved and greatly prized the world that he even gave. It's awesome. God did something because of his love. One of my most fascinating stories, I love this, is about the little girl in Sunday school who was asked to recite by memory, from memory, John 3:16. And she was so excited because she knew it. So she stood up and she said before the class and before her teacher, she said, for God so loved the world that he, for God so loved the world that he, and she couldn't remember, she started over. She said, for God so loved the world that he, that he did something. He did, didn't he? And that's what Christmas and the message of Christmas, the story of Christmas, is all about. And then it says, and he gives us the idea of what he gave. He gave his one and only begotten Son. Do you know that phrase, the only begotten Son, is a very interesting phrase. It's one of the most difficult phrases in all the New Testament to actually translate. What does it mean? King James Version, the old version, you know, 1611 version, it says this, the only begotten. Newer versions, the NIV, other versions, just simply uses the little word only. But it's a significant phrase. Actually in the Greek word for that is monogenes, or genos. And it literally means it could mean unique. It could mean one of a kind, only begotten. But the understanding is really two things. Number one is that he is a unique person of his species. And then it's the idea that it's even deeper than that, because he's not only a unique person of his species, but he's the only one. He's the one of the kind. Think about it, because we are sons and daughters by adoption, but he is the Son of God in the sense that he is the embodiment of his Father. He was God. So when it says that he gave his one and only Son, it's even greater than giving his offspring. It's giving of himself. That's the depth of his love. And then he says that whoever believes and trusts in him. See, it's one thing to believe, it's another thing to believe and to trust. What he's saying here is that it's not enough to just mentally, cognitively, in your mind, believing that God exists, but we need to put our faith and trust in Him. We need to have that born-again experience where we're changed into His likeness. And then what do we get? What we get is eternal life, that we will not perish. When life is over, that life is not over. Because if we believe and trust in Him, that we will not perish. Why? Because He is our Savior and we have eternal life. Isn't that awesome? What a great and wonderful blessing that we get at Christmas time because of His love. Now here, let me do this for you. Let me give you two big ideas. Two really important things that we need to understand and embrace because of this most familiar passage about God's love. Number one is simply this, that God doesn't want us to have just a Christian experience. He wants you. God doesn't want us to just have a Christian experience. He wants you. Think about this. An awful lot of people, when it comes to Christmas, all they think about is having a Christmas experience. You know, some of you, a few weeks ago, it was Black Friday. And you got up, you know, before the sun was even up, before anybody else, and you went out, and you went around all these stores because you heard that you were going to be able to save $5 on a $3,000 television. God bless you. Black Friday. You know what? I've never gotten up for Black Friday, and I don't think I ever will. You know what? I would rather spend that $5 and stay away from all of you on Black Friday. But for some people, that's a Christian experience. You got to have it. And God bless you. You know, some of us, you know, we have Christmas dinner. You know, we go and we go to somebody's house, or people come to our house, and we make special dishes. And you know, we always, you know, Arlene always makes her green bean casserole. Man, I'm hungry already. You know, there's things that people bring. You know, my mother always she had these certain kind of rolls that she made, and my mother never ate Christmas dinner because she was always just baking another pan of rolls, and she was walking around and said, "Would you like a hot one? Would you like a hot one? Would you like a hot one?" She loved doing it. It was a Christmas experience. And now when I get together with my family, some of my sisters, they try to make those rolls. And, you know, they may hear this on the recording, but it's just not the same. Some of us like to go look at lights, don't we? Used to pile my kids in the car, and we used to drive all over Blair County. You know, there was a tree up here in the Logandale section of the Juniata Springs section. It had billions of lights on it. We always went to see that tree. You know, we always drove up into not Castle Farms. What's that place over on the Frankstown Mountain? Huh? Yeah, that up in that area there. We'd drive, always nice lights up there. You'd always go and go through Lakemont, see the lights. Somebody actually posted a video of the lights of Lakemont as they went through in the car. That was pretty awesome. You know, we always did that. It was a Christmas experience. You know, you always shot, always. But here, listen, folks. For God so loved the world that He gave His only one unique Son, so that whoever believes and trusts in Him will never perish but have eternal life. And the story of Christmas is God's love giving us that love. But it's not, He doesn't want us to experience Christmas just by the Christmas experiences. He wants us to know that what He wants is you. And then the second thing, and it's equally as important, is that we need to understand and know the difference between presence and presence. Isn't that amazing? Two words that sound exactly the same, but means so much of different ideas. We need to know the difference between presence and presence. Because one is about the things that we get. The other is about the thing that we need more than anything else in life, is the presence of God. You know, it took me a long time before I realized that my mother really, really, really had it right when she would say, I don't need anything. Don't buy me anything. And as a little kid, I would always think, man, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Ask me, I'll tell you. But as the older I've gotten, I've realized how much she knew and how much she really understood. Because it wasn't about the presence, it was about the presence. And let me tell you something, folks. As your pastor, I needed to realize this more than anything else this year. Because with my grandson, I know I joke with you and things about him, but Arlene and I had the conversation the other night that we really shouldn't go overboard in buying him presents. Because we really don't want him to get to the point that he really thinks of us just because of what we can buy for him or give him. So we're really trying to temper that, you know. I actually only bought him 72 things this year. And I think in a few years I'm going to pare that down to where it's more appropriate. No, I'm just kidding. I'm serious. Only a few things. Because I want to look him in his eye and tell him and show him the love of God. Because it's not the amount of Legos he has. Because there comes a time when presents aren't nearly as important as presence. I'll never forget the day, it was many years ago now, that I gave my daughter Kristen a University of Tennessee Barbie doll. And as she unwrapped it on Christmas morning, she handed it back to me. And she said, Dad, you probably want this more than I do. Come over to my office. It's actually sitting on a shelf in my office right now. Because it had gotten to a point that presents weren't as important as presence. And when we come to understand that, that's when we really come to understand and appreciate Christmas. Do we really know what God has done and given to us? I got something here that's going to help you. Watch this just for a minute and then we'll finish up.
It is said that the door to the stable where the Christ child was born is very low, and only those who kneel can find access. I have taken it for granted. This gift of a child, this creator being created, this light born into darkness, I took this for granted until I looked upon my own child, whose eyes bring mercy to my soul, whose embrace peace to my heart, whose laugh joy to my world. I could not fathom the thought, could not muster the courage, am not capable of the love it would take to give my child up to those who don't know, to offer my child to those who would harm, to sacrifice my child for those who pursue hate. This gift of light, of love, of life, this joy in the world, this peace on earth, this mercy wild, this God, this sinner, forever reconciled, provokes a humble response. To offer my heart, to turn my eyes, to fall to my knees and worship.
You know, it can be the most wonderful time of the year when we understand and appreciate what God's love has done for us. You know, we're encouraged in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, to have the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. Have you ever wondered what his attitude was? It was the attitude of love. Love that began with his Father. And can you imagine the kind of love, the height of love, the depth of love that it would take to give your one and only, unique, begotten Son so that he might die for all the sins of the world? That is love. That is when it can be the most wonderful time of the year. Jerry Thompson, one of the ladies here at the church, gave me this book for Christmas. It's called Because of Bethlehem. Because of Bethlehem, love is born and hope is here. I'd like to close this morning with just one extended quote from the beginning of this book. Listen, I hope this describes you and me. He says, I love Christmas. Let the sleigh bells ring. Let the carolers sing. The more Santas, the merrier. The more trees, the better. I love Christmas. The ho, 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 the rooty toot, toot, the thumpity thump, thump, the perumpa pum, pum, the silent night and the sugar plums. I don't complain about the crowded shops. I don't grumble at the jam-packed grocery store. The flight is full. The restaurant is packed. Well, it's Christmas. And I love Christmas. Bring on Scrooge and Cousin Eddie and the official Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model air rifle. I'll shoot myself in the eye. The tinsel and the clatter and the waking up to see what was the matter. Bing and his tunes, Macy's balloons, mistletoe kisses, Santa Claus wishes, and favorite dishes, holiday snows, warm winter clothes, and even Rudolph's red nose. I love Christmas. I love it because somewhere, someone will ask the Christmas questions. What's the big deal about the baby in the manger? Who was he? What does his birth have to do with me? The questioner may be a child looking at a front yard display. He may be a soldier stationed far from home. She may be a young mom who for the first time holds a child on Christmas Eve. The Christmas season prompts questions. Is it the most wonderful time of the year? Let's turn that question into a declaration, because we experience at Christmas the wonderful love of God the Father through Christ the Son, experienced and enhanced by God the Holy Spirit in each of us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, I thank you for bringing us here this morning. And Lord, I know that around this room today, there's certainly those that are seeking your love, Lord. That they're confused by the world, by the hatred they see there, by the evil, Lord, that we experience, and by the darkness that clouds our way. And Father, may all of that be overtaken by the star, Lord, that led the wise men to the Christ child. By the angels, Lord, singing to the shepherds on the mountainside. And by this beautiful, beautiful verse of Scripture that declares your love and our desire to know you, and the outcome, Lord, of a life lived by faith. Father, may the love, may the gift of love at Christmas time make all the difference in the world to help us, Lord, to turn that question of is it the greatest time of the year to a declaration of yes, it is, because of His love and my experiencing that love anew each day. May it be so, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.